You are now tuned in live to Step the Game Up Saturdays, Diva Mary Kay, showcasing nothing but successful independent businesses. Call us up at 347-850-1521 and step your game up.
What you looking at?
Step your game up.
What you waiting for?
Step your game up.
Go come on in the dust.
Step your game up.
Drop it to the floor and just
step your game up.
You with Ken?
Step your game up.
Oh, you drink gin?
Step your game up.
Is that your friend?
Step your game up.
Bad nigga, you with you?
Hey, step your game up.
You already know what time it is. It's time to step your game up on Step Your Game Up Saturdays, each and every Saturday, 7 p.m. on the West, 8 p.m., 5 p.m. on the West, and 8 p.m. on the East. Y'all make sure y'all call us up, 347-850-1521. That's 347-850-1521, and press the 1 button to be heard. Also, jump in our chat room at www.blogtalkradio.com/DivaSpot. Say, Jay, what's going on, babe?
Yo, what's up, y'all? Can y'all hear me out there?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, yeah, I'm talking and talking, and I can't even hear nobody respond in the back, man. It's crazy, man. But, yeah, live in the building, I'm Space Age J.J. Biggs, you feel me? Step your game up Saturday, man. And I'm in a little bit of a somber mood, you know, with the past current events that's just occurred, you know. The topic, well, let me first start out by saying, you know, let me refresh everybody. The topic for last week, we were talking about, you know, making amends. And I felt like I made amends, and we, you know, we kind of, all of us got something off our chest. Like Diva got stuff off her chest. I got some stuff off my chest, you know. And shout out to Dope Ass Music. He got a lot of stuff off his chest. And shout out to my homie Genius, man. He, you know what I mean? He called in last week, and actually he had a death in the family this week. So my prayers go out to him, you know what I mean? And
yes.
That was the topic last week. This week we talking about, you know, well, our plan was to talk about these finances as pertaining to Christmas and holiday shopping and whatnot. But I want to first take the time out to express my deepest condolences for the families of the victims of the elementary school shooting up in Connecticut yesterday. That's a very, honestly, I'm not even going to lie. Stuff like that right there, I can't even sit down and watch that and watch the news and watch the details on it because it just breaks my heart, you know. So, I mean, I know pretty much the basics of what it is to know that elementary school was shot at, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And there was a lot of kid victims involved, as well as grown-up victims, you know. But my prayers go out to those people. So now I gotta backtrack down to making amends, talking about, you know, in relations to that, in relations to the victims of that school shooting. I mean, people, we gotta do better, man. We gotta stop, you know. We gotta stop taking out our aggression on innocent, you know, people, and in this case, innocent children. You know what I mean? I know. In the past, you know, it's been like Oklahoma City bombing, and you know that was, you know, Timothy McVeigh, I think his name was. That was a mad at the United States government for something or another. I can't remember really what it was, but he decided he was going to bomb that Oklahoma City federal building. You know, the terrorists, the 9/11 terrorist attack, you know, where they're going to knock down the towers, you know, and kill thousands of people, injure thousands of people just beyond, you know, your personal beef with the American government. I mean, I understand, you know, people die, you know, it's a part of life, you know, we die, or if there's war, you know, there's casualties, but, I mean, these are children we talking about. Don't no children need to have to go through anything like that, you know what I mean? That's beyond my realm of comprehension, you know what I mean? So, my prayers go out to them. You know, and I just got to get that off my chest real quick because that really touched my heart. You know what I mean? I'm sitting here with my little man just now, you know, and I'm scared, I'm fearful as a parent that I gotta send him to school one day, and I might have to, you know, be looking for somebody looking suspicious and, you know, not looking like they on the up and up, because they might shoot my son's school up or something. So, you know, that's a serious little thing I wanted to touch on real quick. I'm gonna throw it over to you real quick, Diva, if you want to say anything about that.
Oh, yeah, most definitely I want to say something about that. I mean, that's the guts of people who have these issues, and just the guts of him and him having to go into a school and to shoot up innocent children and innocent adults like that. And if you guys are mad about something, or if you're passionate about something and you feel some type of way about anything, there's always a way to properly plan it out, and it does not have to end with shooting and killing people. If you have that much courage and that much guts with you to shoot up or to bomb or to cause any harm to anybody, then thank you, sweetie. Then you should be able to have enough guts to sit down and say, you know what, it's a smarter way for me to do this, to bring down a somewhat corrupt system that they consider it to be. But of course, you know, the whole world has been affected by it, but let's look at the people as a whole, the survivors. The survivors, their life has been drastically altered, and now they're going to be going and living their life in fear. So we're going to have more people not associating with people, not communicating, living their life in fear, being hermit crabs, and then guess what? The public population is going to look at them like they're weird and call them weirdos and all that stuff now, and then they're going to be getting teased and ridiculed, and this can start all over again. Think about it, James. All those people, you know, who was affected or feeling some type of way, now they're living their life in fear because of what happened at the school. They don't want to come outside. They don't want to talk to nobody. They just want to be left alone and be in their own little space. And guess what the public is going to do? They're going to single them out, talk about them, and make them feel even more insecure.
Right.
And that's what we call emotional abuse. That is emotional abuse. And that's one thing that I wanted to touch on now. Let me get this so I can get this definition. Matter of fact, I'm going to go into a track, and then I'm going to come back, and we're going to get into emotional abuse. And we also going to be talking about these finances, talking about budgeting, holiday shopping, better credit. You know, we gotta be able to step our game up and get better with a whole bunch of things, and it just start with somebody talking about it and giving a good path or a couple of steps to get started, because it doesn't happen overnight. Let's get into some dope ass music, California Boy. Let's go.
Your boy Dippity's back in the building. This is going on my mixtape. DPD, DOPE, Mr. Googleable.
I'm a California boy, check my life.
No S, no C. Westside stand up.
Back in the zone, California's my home. The sunshine and trees, constantly feeling the breeze. Quake got us moving and shaking, it's a daily vacation.
I'm a California boy, check my life display.
Moving up in the hills where every day is a thrill. Dollar second automatic with these brothers be packing. Staying on our toes, ballerina these hoes.
I'm a California boy, check my life display.
California's the spot, whether you like it or not. Where the suns and guns keep it constantly hot. So we back in heat like it's 20 degrees. We might have been cruising the paint, we abuse game time, crunch time, in the paint we bruise. We're not here to lose, on alarm, no snooze, so we win on the west. Never second best, going for the ring, so that full breath we bring. Pushing cans of V8, that's only time we lean. Loving the color green, stacking dollars in the ceiling, loving the feeling. Wanting a million, willing and dealing with women, so appealing. It's a paradise, it's murder, and we constantly killing. Best or a must in killing Cali, we constantly bust. It's in the surf, in the surf, in the God we trust. It's a wild west, lift your face down in the dust.
Welcome to the wild, wild west, baby.
Back in the zone, California's my home. The sunshine and trees, constantly feeling the breeze. Quake got us moving and shaking, it's a daily vacation.
I'm a California boy, check my
my license plate. Moving up in the hills where every day is a thrill. Dollar second automatics with these brothers be packing. Staying on our toes, ballerina these hoes. I'm a California boy, check my license plate. We pushing the zone, slow down for the cone. Watch out for the back door cuts, pick up roads, leave you leaking from the nose. Cheerleaders on the side, never trusting them hoes. It's a hardwood out here, killing instincts on the court. Blood sport, so the last shot, oh I got wet net, I never came to fear. Shot clock, tick, tick, ticking. You better pay attention. Take out the best play with my defensive presence. Send the shit back off the shots, cause we shoot back. Shot when I play, grip the spot. Black mama on the mama, assassinate your block. Start not when I cock, leave LaCroix, Jamaica style stupid. Who knew it won the game? Take back to back game. Take the rest for the West. Playoff only for the best. Primetime mainline, nothing but gang. I'm a California boy, take my life to play.
So now you know how we do it on the West, baby.
Take my license plate.
I'm about to get real smooth on you right now. Hold on.
I'm a California boy. Take my license plate.
California spot, whether you like it or not. Where the sun's the guns, keep it constantly hot. So we back in heat like it's 20 degrees. We mob and cruise in the paint we abuse. Game time, crunch time, in the paint we bruise. We're not here to lose, on alarm to snooze. So we win on the West, never second best. Going for the ring, so that will press we bring.
Pushing cans of V8, that's the only time we lean. Loving the color green, stacking dollars in the ceiling. Loving the feeling, wanting a million, willing and dealing. The women so appealing. Gates of paradise is murder, and we constantly killing. Fist or a must in killing. Kelly, we constantly butt. It's in the surf, in the turf, and also God we trust. It's the Wild West, leave your face down in the dust.
Welcome to the Wild Wild West, y'all.
I'm a California boy, check my license plate. Big
that
shout out to
rock,
so fast
man.
Music. It
that
does rock, doesn't
tough.
It?
That's tough. That's a tough little song right there. Dobaz is crazy, man. Dobaz is crazy. He all over the damn place for real. That's my
he
dude, though. Shout out to Dobaz, man. Shout out to Dobaz. That was my man. Dobaz Music. No S's, no C's. California boy. Check the license plate. Big ass license plate. California on the back. Before we went to break. Before
Jeffy
we went to music
of,
break, yeah, we was
yeah.
We was talking about yeah the massacre up in Connecticut, and I don't want to drag the whole show down talking about that, man. I just encourage everybody, you know, we all got children, just man, do what you gotta do, protect your kids, man. Just be there for your kids, have a good relationship with them, talk to them about what's going on in their schools, man, because these types of things. I'm going to say this. These types of things happen, honestly, because people do not care, and they unaware
and you know,
of what
they
surroundings
what, James,
are. Yeah.
You know what? Everything that we have allowed so much evil, so
yep.
much crime, so mm-hmm. much hate, so much pornography, so much sex, so much drugs, mm. so much mm. evil, we have allowed it to come into our world, and the universe, the earth, and is not doing nothing, nature is not doing nothing but giving us back now what we have put into it. Anything
yep.
that you put out, it always come back. And I want to encourage, I mean, everyone, not just myself and people who are listening now. And 773, I see you, but I want to encourage you guys to take a step to stop the abuse, the physical abuse, the emotional abuse, the sexual abuse, and the neglect. I want to read the definition in this little script out of my son's Club Scout Weebelo's hands book. He just joined the Boy Scouts of America, but it has a little pamphlet in the side that says how to protect your child from child abuse, a parent's guide. And what I was reading here says emotional abuse. Emotional abuse is harder to recognize, but is just as harmful to the child as other forms of abuse. Emotional abuse damages the child's self-esteem and in extreme cases can cause developmental problems and speech disorders. A child suffers from emotional abuse when consistently ridiculed, rejected, blamed, or compared unfavorably with brothers, sisters, or other children. unrealistic expectations in academic or athletic achievements are a common cause of emotional abuse by parents or other adults. When a child can't meet these expectations, he or she feels that he is never quite good enough. Emotional abuse is almost always present when other forms of abuse is identified. So I wanted to just read that to you guys about emotional abuse, and it not only affects your child, you know, we're talking about from the beginning stages, but you can be doing this in your relationship. You can be doing this, you know, in your family life. And I had to check myself, too, about going off and carrying on. And I had to realize that I was emotional abusing my family and my son. And it does not make you a bad person. It's just you recognize it and you do something about it and you make the state steps to change it. Jay Biggs, I'm so thankful for you that you're going to be talking about this topic as far as helping us step our game up with these finances. Let's go ahead and talk about finances and how to step your game up on the finance tips.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the first thing I want to start with is something that personally I'm being affected with right now. I want to start out with just managing your bank account. Now, managing your bank account can get to be complicated at the end of the day. I'm sure a lot of y'all know that 90% of these banks, the way they're doing their business now is online. Now, I was going through it for the past couple of weeks, and also I watched it on CNN, and I read it on Yahoo. So this is a very common occurrence. I want to talk about, and this is something that everybody needs to also be aware of. When you open up your emails and you go to your spam folders or you go to your inbox, whatever's clever, you get email. If you see an email from someone whom you don't recognize, or you see something that looks suspicious, you get an email. I'll give you an example. It'll say, you know, it might be me emailing you, Diva, and it looks like it's coming from me. The email, when you get it, the subject matter will be like R-E-R-E colon or something like that. You open the email, there's all you got in it is a hyperlink to click, you know, a link, like you click a website. You click the website, and it goes from, you know, your email to some pharmacy, some, you know, porn, something of that nature. According to CNN, because I did the research on this, and I actually watched the segment on CNN on TV the Thursday. According to CNN, some of these emails and these links, when you click on it, and you got to be very, very, very careful, some of these are actually spam or malware from other countries. Russia is the biggest culprit of it. They have people over there, computer geniuses, they're sending these malware emails to people. You click that link, and automatically, as soon as you open that link up, you got malware on your computer now. The malware sits on your computer and waits for you to open up your online bank account, and it sends all the information back to whoever, you know, sent it in the first place. So what ends up happening is you might have purchases that come out of your account you don't know about. There might be stuff that just doesn't correspond to anything on there. And basically, in a nutshell, that's what I've been going through for the past few weeks dealing with in regards to one of my bank accounts. But fortunately, I got it straightened out. Everything's okay. Everything's clever now. But, you know, CNN estimates, like, this is the thing of it is, it's one of those things where, like, they target Windows users, users of Windows, Windows 7, Windows, just basically Windows. They target those people because the code, the way they write the program in Windows is a lot easier to crack than, say, Mac or any other platform that they have right now. So that's the main thing that I wanted to start with, is just, you know, being cognizant of, you know, as simple as an email. Like, and a lot of us, we get emails, you know, through our phones now, and we open the email up, or we, you know, see it from a friend, we open it, there's a link in it. If you see a link in your email from a friend, there's no subject, no nothing, and you, all you get is a link, delete that. You don't want to open that link up. That's going to cause a virus to get embedded in your computer, and the virus will sit there and just wait for you to open your online checking account. And I apologize, I should have printed like the list.
I have something to add too when we finish.
Yeah, go ahead.
I wanted to add about the overdraft fees, because I have been a victim of overdraft fees, and I took a look at my bank statements from last year, and they sent me out a copy. And I paid close to $500 in overdraft fees last year.
Oh, wow.
So Diva decided, yes, Diva decided to do some research on this. And big shout out to David from the website My2Dollars, My2Dollars.com, and you can check him out. But it says new bank overdraft fees laws for your debit cards and checking accounts. As of August 15, 2010, there are new laws in place regarding overdraft fees for your bank. Up until the date, many banks and credit unions automatically enroll customers in an overdraft service that could run as much as $35 each time you overdraft your account, which is great. This service was there in addition to padding the bank's bottom line to protect you from having your card declined due to having insufficient funds in your account. Granted, if they had just left the $35 in the account, maybe you wouldn't have gone over the limit. But still, this was an automatic enrollment, and now something you could opt in. This is an automatic enrollment and not something you could opt out of. Well, that all changed on August the 15th when the overdraft section of the financial legislation overhaul went into effect. Okay. The overdraft fee is a financial penalty that the bank takes from you when you try to spend more money than you currently have available in your account, ranging from $20 to $35 or so. Banks have been making a fortune off this fee for many, many years without you having a choice if you wanted to pay it. Overdraft your account, they'll take the fee, period, the end. But now you can opt out of this fee, and your cards will just be declined if you do not have enough money to cover the purchase. I really appreciate this new rule, because I think it encourages people to be more diligent in knowing the balance of their accounts, which is what JB is talking about, and just how much they can spend. But opting out of this service is almost like using cash to buy things with, in that you have to actually have the money to spend it, which I like. True, this is for debit or ATM cards only, and I will touch on using credit cards instead of a little later. So what you can expect in your bank, not that the rule has gone into place. So basically what you guys can do now is you can call your bank out and say, look, I want to opt out of this automatic enrollment, overdraft enrollment thing that you put me on. I do not want it. I would prefer for me, honestly, I don't have any shame. I would prefer for my card to be declined rather than me getting an overdraft fee. Because let me tell you something. Once they overdraft you one time, $35, I have KeyBank. Every 2 days, they charge you an additional $20 to $27. If you're getting paid every 2 weeks and the money is not in there, you already at $100 to $200 by the time you get paid again, and your money is gone.
Mm-hmm.
That's pimping 101, baby.
Not only that, let's say, I go one step further. Let's say, you know, I'll be simple with it. You went to McDonald's and you bought, like, two or three things off the dollar menu. That's $3, and you didn't have those $3. Now you're paying the $35 on top of the $3.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say every day you went to McDonald's like that. So you're really paying, instead of them $3, you're paying $38. So they add up. What they do is they compound every single time you charge something after your balance is in the negative. So that first day is $35. And then every charge after that, they add $35. So you could wind up in the hole.
I'm paying $35 for what you wrote.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, you could wind up just paying $500 for this one thing, this one meal you wanted to get from McDonald's. You could wind up paying that. And even worse than that, in some institutions, some places you go, if you're shopping, they'll charge you money because your card went and, you know, because it was overdraft fee. They'll charge you, so the bank is charging you, and the store you're at is charging you as well because you didn't have that money.
Card.
Yeah, so like you're basically paying everybody every which way, and I mean I can appreciate, you know, being able to say, hey, go ahead and just decline the purchase. Most of us, I think, in this day and age, you know, we have more than one bank account. You know, we can easily just go grab some money from somewhere else. I mean, it's not that big a deal if. Rather than you just milking me for all it's worth, you know. I've been there and I've seen it. It's not pretty. It's not pretty at all.
Wow, let's let Denaya in. Let's let Denaya in on this thing right here, and then we're going to a music break.
For sure.
I mean, yeah, definitely. I think that is a very good idea to just decline the card as opposed to having to pay extra and extra this and extra that. Because I know when I did have an account, the issue that I had was that I checked my account and everything was fine. And all of a sudden, I'm using it. And all of a sudden, they're like, oh, well, this hadn't gone through. I'm like, wait a second, then why didn't the damn thing just decline? As opposed to you saying, I checked and it said it's in there, and I saying it wasn't. I have a problem with that. So, yeah, that'd be great.
Well, I definitely can dig that. Let's go on to some music by, alright, let's go on to some music by Adele. It's your girl, Ebony B. Space AJ is in the building. Happy Game of Saturdays. Call us up, 347-850-1521. That's 347-850-1521. We getting y'all money right, and when we come back, we're going to talk about budgeting this thing. Let's go.
I let it fall. your love anymore.
Give a big shout out to Team Tick, Teens in Christ, TIC. Big shout out to you, Teens in Christ. I see your love on Facebook. Also, want to give a big shout out to my cousin Michelle. It's all right, booby. You miss your flight, but you'll be on the next one in the morning. We'll see you soon. We definitely stepping your game up today, talking about getting that money right. We talked about, you know, some of the ways that you can be attacked through email as far as with getting your account information and charging things and making it difficult for you. And also we talked about that overdraft fee. That's very important. And we're going to step your game up and talking about budgeting too. So Space AJ is going to break it down for y'all one time.
For sure, and I don't even know if I'm the right one to give this because I'm a budget, I'm a maniac when it comes to budgeting. But, yeah, for some people, you know what I mean, I'm going to break it down for y'all, man. Budgeting, in plain English, budgeting, simply put, all that means is just, you know, sitting there looking at your money, deciding, first of all, you got to decide how much you bring in, you know what I mean, what is your income coming in. And then you got to decide where is it going, you know, how you going to break it down, where it's going out. Now, let's start with your bills, you know what I mean? Your bills is a necessity, you know. Let's start with the necessities of the bills. You got to have a place to stay, obviously. You got to have a roof. So take out your roof, out your income.
Nobody else's house.
we don't support the mooching. The society of mooches, we don't support that. The leeches and the mooches, we can't support them. So you got to have your own place. Take that out of your income. Now, you got to eat. You know what I mean? Now, the trick to eating is don't overindulge. And what I mean by overindulge is you don't want to spend a lot of money on food that you don't even really need like that. You know what I mean? And that's something that we as, I'm going to start with just the black community because, you know, this is one of the things that, you know, we get kind of picked on a lot about. Black people, we don't cook anymore. What's up with that? We got to start cooking. I'm put it like this. Part of my budgeting, part of my monthly budgeting, I don't even just go, like, I don't know how it is where everybody else is. I go to the grocery store, yeah, but Sam's Club, Costco, you know what I mean? And shout out to Costco because that Costco card is like my new best friend. Costco, Sam's Club, what's the other joint? I can't even think of the other joint. But the basically, you know, wholesale warehousing for your, you know, they sell your groceries. A lot of the things that you buy that are regular, you know, milk, eggs, stuff like that, you can go to wholesale, get twice, three times the amount that you would pay and pay a fraction of what you would pay in the grocery store. So let's say, I give you an example, milk. Milk in the grocery store could be $4. $4 a gallon. I go to Costco, I used to pay $2.97 for a gallon of milk. Now I think it went up to like $3.10, $3.15, something like that. You saving,
good
it
Lord.
Might not seem like, I'm sorry?
I said, good Lord.
Yeah, I mean, it might not seem, that 90 cent, it might not seem like much, but that 90 cent is going to go a long way. Let me go on something. Let me pick one a little bit more significant for you. How many people out there, you know, you buy ground beef, ground turkey, bacon, you know, basically meat in general. Now, you can go to a grocery store, I think, let me see what I got here on my notes. A pack of bacon, 1 pound of bacon, is $4, can range between $3.75, depending on what brand you get, between $3.75 and $4.50. That's 1 pound of bacon. I go to Costco and I pay for 4 pounds of bacon, I pay $11.99. Now you do the math. Basically $12, 4 pounds, I pay roughly $3 a pound. You might end up paying $4.50, even if you pay the lowest, $3.75. I'm still saving 75 cents per pound of bacon. Now, sometimes you go in the store, if you get multiple items, there's a discount on that, what have you. My advice is it's still better when you go to a wholesaler. Like, for example, Costco is the wholesaler that I use. I have a executive member card that gives you 2% back on every dollar you spend. So not only am I saving, I'm spending less money than I would in the grocery store. I get that 2% back for every dollar I spend. You might end up spending $150 every time you go, but 2% is coming back every single time. Now, the other advantages to, because I don't want to spend too much time on food, the other advantages to these wholesalers are like the obvious, which is buying in bulk. Now, if you have a large family, you know, a couple kids, 2-3 kids, you know, hubby, wifey that you got to buy, you know, substantial amount of people in your household, you might want to invest in, you know, a Costco membership or a Sam's Club membership. Memberships run their yearly renewal fees. The basic ones are $50 to renew every year. Trust me, it's worth it. If you look at the long term of buying in bulk, how much money you're going to save, you know, just being more conscious as far as what you're spending on your groceries. Now, that's one bill. Let's talk about, let me see, your electric. Some depending on where you live, you might have electric included as a utility. Water might be included. So I can't really get into breakdowns about, you know, what each person spending individually, electric, water, utilities and whatnot, gas. So I can't really get into that. Here we go. My personal favorite. Let's talk about this TV, internet, Fios, cable, what have you, that you know, is popping off right now. A lot of these services, these companies, they're charging you your services bundled up. So you have TV, internet, phone for, I'm gonna pick out Fios. I got notes here. I'm pick out Fios. Fios, shout out to Fios, you know, because they got some really good internet, but I'm gonna have to put them on the spot real quick. Fios, the way they sucker us in, I'm gonna say sucker us because I don't want to use the other word. The way they sucker us in, they kind of pimp us, is to
they
pimping the mess out of it. And they got me too. I ain't gonna lie, they got me. The way they sucker us in is they run a promotion. So I'm not sure exactly what the price is for the promotion now. They'll run a promotion and the promotion will be, you know, for your bundle, your triplet bundle, triple play bundle, what have you. What they'll do is when you first sign up, they'll give you a free 6 months of HBO mm-hmm. or whatever, Cinemax, HBO, movie channel.
$13.99 a la carte.
Right, and then after that, they'll give you that free, and then after that time period goes out, they'll add that extra $13.99 to your bill without you even subscribing to it. So it's not like the channels drop out on you or whatnot. They just factor it into your bill and keep it moving. So your bill might spike 1 month, and you don't even know why. Crazy. So that's something that we gotta watch. That's something that you gotta watch out for. In a nutshell, basically, the general idea is whenever you get a bill, you want to actually go down and read every single thing on the bill. Don't just get the bill, see the number, and send the check out. You want to read and know what you're paying for.
Yeah.
Fios in particular, and once again, I gotta pick on them. Their bill, there's if you go down to the very bottom of the bill and your government taxes and surcharge fees, sometimes they'll add in fees into that don't even have to be, it's not even like government mandatory fees that they're adding into just to get a little bit more money out of you.
Mm-hmm.
If you go with the internet bundle, the internet package, one thing that I know from first-hand experience that they'll do, and I had a real big problem with this, they will do what is called, because they claim they have like the best internet known to man and whatnot, they'll add their own like virus protection, streaming protection, something of that nature. Like
again, that
like
automatic enrolling.
And oh yeah, automatically they'll add that automatically to you without you even. And this is something that the people that you know you call, you talk to a representative, they don't explain this to you. They'll just, you know, it just happens to get, you know. And they'll, and the other thing that is that, and then there's also the online game service. They have an online game service. They automatically enroll you in as well. So
wow.
I'm gonna be honest, straight up and down. The only way I found out about this is God bless my woman. She read the bill, was like, this isn't right, and started looking at every little thing that they itemized on the bill, and she said, what is this? And I had to go look it up, and it was some crap that I don't even use. So, long story short, you want to check all your bills, every itemized thing on your bill, because you don't know what you're paying for, especially when you start talking this internet, TV, phone bundle, you know, services like Fios, Comcast, Dish Network, DirecTV. You want to check those things. All my fellas out there that are heavy football watchers and you start investing into the NFL access and
that's
whatnot.
Amazing.
Yeah, you
well,
in,
for
you
the
invest
NFL,
in those.
All you got to do is go to Front Row. You can get that for free. You can stream the game for free on it. That Front Row. FrontRow.com or FrontRowSeat.com, stream that for free online. You don't necessarily have to pay to watch the NFL games. They have all games on there. So, yeah, I just wanted to throw that piece in. I'm going to let you wrap up because I want to put something in on this budgeting as well.
Yeah, actually, I was going to say that too as well. Like, that's what I basically do to get around the – you know, direct league pass and all that. I'll stream it online, but, you know, I'm not really interested in all the 30 teams in the NFL anyway. I like my personal favorite, so I don't care to watch every other team. But anyway, moving on, basically, what you want to do at the end of the day, you pay all your bills and you figure out that you have X amount of dollars left over. That X amount of dollars, that's yours. You can do. I'm not gonna tell you what to do with your money. However, in our community, I will say this: we do not like to save money. We are horrible when it comes to saving money. So, I would like to see us as a people, as a community, become more conscious about the future. I want to repeat something Genius said. My man Genius, shout out to Genius. I want to repeat something that he said last week, which was really powerful. He said that when it comes to the difference between us and African Americans, blacks in the community, and whites in the community, is white people look ahead and they like to save they like to save something for future generations of their family, whereas we live in the moment and we buy whatever it is for ourselves right here and now, and we don't even think about, like, you know, our kids, leaving something for our kids and their kids and whatnot. So I would challenge our community to become more conscious about our kids, the next generation, and you know, their kids' generations, because they're the future. They're the ones that, honestly, if you want to see a change, which may or may not come in our lifetime, you know what I mean? Mm. It may not. But the key to it is to provide as much resources as you can, so in your children's lifetime, they can do something and they don't have to work as hard as you did in your lifetime. So that's the key.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to see us start saving more money. I challenge us to save money. Save more money. There's things that we're interested in, grind and hustle and whatnot, and those are very important. And when it's feasible to kick the money in for that, then sure. But what I'm referring to is, you know, why do we need to get the Jordans the day they come out? The brand new Jordans, the very first day they come out. Why do we need that? Why do we feel like that is I'll sell my right arm, I'll sell my mother's kidney to get these Jordans the day that they come out. Why do we feel like that? What's the ultimate goal behind that? Being the first one to having these Jordans you know, or being the first one with that, you know, having that $3,000 Gucci purse. What's the meaning? What's the actual meaning behind that? You know, we gotta start looking at, you know, are these things really perpetuating and moving us forward, or are they setting us back? And yeah, go ahead, Diva. I'm gonna throw it over to you. I'm talking.
No, it's okay. You make a valid point there, but one thing that I really like, and I like to keep things simple, especially when it comes to getting things done. Give me step one to three, and I'm good. When you go to step five, it's like, come on, you got to give me a audio or a video to do this. But budgeting, the first step is separating your needs from your wants, especially when budgeting. That's the first thing you got to do, separating your needs from the from your wants. After you determine your actual spendable income, you can focus on how that remaining money needs to be spent. The first step to creating a budget is to sort expenses into three categories: needs, wants, and luxury items. I'm going to say that again. Three categories. The first step to creating a budget is to sort expenses into three categories: needs, wants, and luxury items. But how do you distinguish between the three? In these technological times, what qualifies as a need can sometimes be blurry. A person basically has very few true needs: shelter, clean water, food, a way to prepare it, clothing, and warmth. Of course, it isn't realistic to expect the person to thrive with only these items. If you have a job, you need to be able to get there. You and your family need to protect themselves and their health, and you might be legally required to make other payments, like after you get divorced or a ticket, something like that. But not everything you feel like you need actually is a need, unless it requires for your job, in which case you ought to be reimbursed or deducted expenses on your taxes, like true story. You don't need a cell phone or cable TV or high-speed internet in order to create a budget for yourself. You first need to take a hard look at what your needs is versus your wants. So figuring requires a little experience. You know, you got to sit down and take the time with this thing. Your required experience or needs must come first. Like your required expenses or needs, they got to come first. To figure out what your required expenses needs are, you know, you got to sit down and fill out a required monthly expense sheet. So when I say required, I'm not just talking about, oh, I got to have Blog Talk Radio. I got to pay them $100 a month. That's not necessarily required. That's just something that I want to do. So when we say required monthly expenses, which are needs, we're talking about shelter, which is your mortgage or your rent, your utilities, your electricity, your gas, water, sewage, your trash pickup, and basic phone service. Technology has become so good with it. We don't even really get house phones no more, but all you really need is basic phone service to call within your local area. If you want to reach out to somebody else, you can actually use Skype if you have a computer, or you can use your Google phone. You can use your if you got Gmail, you can use your Google Voice. I used my Google Voice the other day. I was able to call whoever I wanted to call, as long as I wasn't calling out of the United States. So your required monthly expenses, which are your needs, is your rent or your mortgage, your utilities, the electricity, gas, water, sewage, and trash pickup, and basic phone service. That's all you need. You don't need to be getting a plan that you can call over to Africa if you ain't got nobody or know nobody in Africa and ain't doing no business in Africa. Let's think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's going to be some other things that you can include you can't afford to be without. When I say required, that's life insurance. Life insurance is so important. JB, as you was talking about the triple play, people are paying $110 to almost $200 a month for the triple play and ain't got no life insurance. Disability insurance, you know, let's talk insurance for a second.
That's
life
crazy.
Insurance is important. Disability insurance is important. Homeowners or renter insurance. You know, God bless my sister, and I love her very much, but she just moved into this nice little house with this nice little yard and this nice little situation, and someone broke into her house. Not once, but twice. They broke in 2 days before she moved in. Nice house, but come to find out it was a really jacked up neighborhood. But they broke into her house 2 days before she moved in, broke in her back window to her bedroom, and smoke cracked in her house. Turned the heat on, lived in there for that night, and smoke cracked in her house. Then the owners came and repaired the window. She moved her stuff in on that Friday. That Monday when she went to work, they came in, broke into her house again. This person had to know this house, and the house had been on market for 2 years before they decided to buy it. So they know this house.
Yeah, they know this house. They've been around, yeah.
Yeah, so they broke it in again. They stole her laptop, his Xbox 360, and a little bit of my niece's toys. And they wasn't even Christmas gifts. They were just toys that she already had. But if she would have had renter insurance, then a lot of that would have been covered. So let's really think about that, especially even if you don't live in a bad neighborhood, but especially if you do live in a bad neighborhood, that's one thing that you want to consider before moving again. Now, the next insurance I want to talk about is health insurance. We know that the Obamacare is very limited, and it's only a certain couple of things that we can get off of it. But it's sad that we're struggling with health insurance for the economy and for the world, and the gun laws is just doing their thing. It's more harder to get health insurance. It's more easier to get a gun license or a gun permit than to get health insurance. Ain't that about a blimp?
Mm-hmm.
So we went through life insurance, we went through disability insurance, we went through homeowner insurance, health insurance. Let's talk about auto insurance. Very important to get auto insurance because, you know, we got a lot of people running around here that don't have insurance or, you know, you can't prevent an accident. It's going to happen to you one time in your life, no matter how old you are or how long you had your car. So auto insurance is very important. And shop around with all of these insurance. Don't just take the first deal you see on the commercial with Craig and Dating. You know, don't do that. Shop around. With a dental insurance can be covered up under the health insurance, prescription drugs will too. Child care is another insurance that a lot of mothers and fathers face as well. Child care is not insurance, but it actually is insurance for your child because if they're 3 and under, they need to go to a daycare. They cannot start public school, but they have to go to a child care or a daycare while you're at work. And I would preferably say for any people who have children that age is to make sure you get a working job that you work in the daytime and you're able to get your child by 3, nothing later than 4 or 5. If you got 2 parents in the house, 2 people don't work day shifts, if it can be avoided. So with that being said, and I'm talking about right now budgeting and required monthly expenses. The next one is the rainy day fund. Just a minimum of 10% of your check, every check that you get, take out 10%. And I'm glad that I'm talking about this because I'm an impulse buyer, and my honey had to get honest with me and let me know, baby, you an impulse buyer. And I want to be able to move forward and do things with you, but you have to learn how to not be an impulse buyer and save some money. He's thinking more practical, and I can respect him for that. Because how are we going to get married, have a house, and even pay for our license permit if I done spent all the money because I seen something glittery and I'm going to buy it? So let's just pay attention to what's going on. And, of course, your personal hygiene, your basic hygiene, toothbrush, deodorant. So you can get that at the Dollar Tree, boo. It ain't that serious. You can treat yourself from time to time to Victoria's Secret, Bed Bath & Beyond. I mean, that's every other week, if not once a month. We're talking about needs, required needs, and transportation. If you take the bus, gas, you know, carpooling with somebody because some people live in rural areas and they can't get to where they're trying to go, but someone lives, their neighbor lives with them and they can pay them to carpool to go with them. So, you know, Finding through the wants and needs. Hopefully you can find yourself some extra money after paying off your needs. You can use that desire monthly money, or you can set out a worksheet, which is what I did for myself with planning my day. Now I just need to do one for budgeting. But the extra money you can save for vacation in the summertime, the extra money you can save for a car, the extra money that you can save for your child's graduation, they're about to graduate out of high school this year. Like, you can save it for a lot more things. So it's just going to take some discipline. And for me, I got to get rid of my debit card. That's just for me and for a lot of us. If I get rid of this debit card, I have tried putting this card in ice, and it worked for the first 2 months. I was able to stack money last winter because I put the debit card in a cup, and I filled it up with water, and I put it on ice. And any time that I wanted to go and spend some money, I had to break it out of the ice. And I felt like a fool doing that. I felt like a fiend, like I was looking for my last piece of crack rock. I felt like smoking, like I'm going to smoke up all the money. I'm going to smoke up all the money. But it made me feel stupid. So by the time I got to the point of breaking the ice, I just let it go. But now I've come to realize that I have to get rid of my debit card, and I have to do it where I'm disciplining myself to go to the bank and get the money out and take and do what I got to do. Either I'm going to have to get rid of the debit card or pull out the checkbook, which I haven't touched that since I got my account open.
Wow, you still budgeting. Got checkbooks anymore.
I'm just going to be honest. I haven't touched it.
I don't know where my checkbook at. I ain't going to lie. That thing is somewhere got 10 pounds of dust on it, crying at me, Jay, why you don't use me no more? That's
why you don't
card.
Use me. And you, I can save you some money. And I see a lot of women, white women, Caucasian women, Indian women, Korean women, they have their checkbooks out, baby. Do you hear me? When I cash them out, they ask for the receipt, and right then and there, they write down what they spent in their checkbook.
Yep.
Boom.
And you got a
and
record.
And they spend it like hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
They spend hundreds in my store. So,
you got a record right then and there,
yeah,
in your hand.
Right.
Tell you everything you spend. You ain't got to wait for that bank statement at the end of the month. You know what you spent already.
And that's the power right there, you guys, knowing what you spent. I know what I spent, and I know what I have. So I'm doing things a little bit different. And this time I'm taking some initiative with myself. We all get paid once a week, twice a week, monthly or daily, you know, multiple incomes. That's what I wanted to touch on before we go on to another music break, is multiple incomes, you guys, meaning your job, which is just over broke, your career is a business that you own, DBA, doing business as, and a legal hustle. You know, a legal hustle, whether you on the weekend, some weekends I don't go out, I don't have to go out every weekend. So I'm making a little flyer for myself to put up in the laundry room in my complex and to put up in the mailboxes and say, hey, weekend sitter. I'm gonna come up with a really good name for it, but I'm going to call it the weekend rampage or something, where $20 a pop, you can drop your kid off by 10 o'clock, and you got to pick them up by 12 o'clock the next day. If I get 5 kids, that's $100 in one day. Use your gifts and your talent. If you braid hair, same thing. $20, $19.99, $20. It just seems to be something magical or something attractive about $19.99.
Right.
Don't even put $20. Just put $19.99. And people would
you'd
jump
be surprised
on it.
How many people jump on it just because of that number. You know what I mean?
That's funny.
$19.99. You watch. I'll be honest with you. I'm keeping 1,000. I sit and watch TV in the middle of the night, and some of that stuff be looking really good to me just because they say the number. Like, it'd be the dumbest thing in the world, like a damn electric pillow, $19.99. That seems like a real good, like, I need to get that. Like, I think that'd be real good. You know, my electric pillow, keep your pillow cool on the cool side. Never flip the pillow over. Like, you know what? If I had an electric pillow and it was always cool, maybe I'd sleep better. And you start thinking about it, $19.99. You know what I mean? Like, or you know, the what's the joint I seen the other day? The little the slippers, the slippers with the tongue and whatnot that stick their tongue out when you walk. And I'm
that's cool.
That's some good stuff right
make
there.
Make noise and shit. Yeah.
Then they said $19.99. I was sold. I was like, yeah. And then my wife had to slap the phone out of my hand, like, you know. When it comes to infomercials, I'm just the worst because, you know, the allure of it just is yeah, but $19.99 is people just jump on it. I know I do. I buy it, whatever it is. I might can't even use it. It might be a tampon dispenser or something. $19.99. Yay, let's get it. I don't care. It's $19. Let's get it.
I got a question for y'all. If today was your last, what would you do? Let's get into this hot song right here by Terry Khan. If today was your last. And when I come back, I want you guys to answer your question. Let's go.
On the outside, people want your life, and they have no idea what's going on inside. They see the houses, see the cars and the clothes, but what you did to get it, nobody really knows. Think about your life and where it's going. What's not in the dark, in the light, it's showing. You never know what tomorrow may hold. If today were your last, what would you do? What would you say? Would he call your name? If today were your last, I wanna know, where would you go?
Like I'm closer to you, 'cause
You're the other part that makes me whole. I stretch out my hands and reach out for you.
And my years ahead. you are healed, carried out, redemption plan. You are healed, carried out, redemption plan.
Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody.
Nobody great. Nobody greater, Jesus.
Nobody greater than you.
Nobody greater. Nobody greater, Jesus.
Nobody greater than you.
Nobody greater, man. It's your girl, Ebony D. Ebony Diva. Diva Ebony D. Live on Steppy Game of Saturdays with Space A's J. Just gave you that triple play. Terry Khan, the first one is Today Was Your Last. The second one was Amora. And the third one right there was Mitchell by Sean Mitchell, Nobody Greater. Big shout out to Space A's J for sending that over. That's definitely a beautiful song. But if today was your last day, what would you say? And what would you do? Queen, I want to know from you, if today was your last day, what would you say and what would you do?
I'd spend the time with my goddaughter, because I don't get to see her that much, and so I'd make sure that I was able to see her one last time.
Oh, that's sweet. Jay Biggs, how about you? If today was your last, what would you say? What would you do?
Well, man, if today was my, I'd probably have to sit down and, like, write a couple letters to people, you know. I'd have to write my son a letter, you know, and let him know, like, you know, because he's still, you know, he's growing, but he's crawling around on the carpet, so he don't really know, you know what I mean? He don't really know his father too much, so I want to let him know, you know, this is where he can find, you know, baby pictures of me and XYZ. Like, I want to let him know, you know, what it is, what the situation is, tell him I love him and all that, you know. And I would pray, you know what I'm saying, because I want to pray for the people that's left behind in this world, you know, this hell on earth. And, hopefully, you know, I could just sit down and just wait for that date, wait for that time, you know, because I want to, you know, I'm going to sit with Jesus, so, you know, I don't want to be doing anything that's going to keep me away from that, so I just want to, you know, wait for him to get me.
That's what's up. If today was my last, I would just say, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready. What's up? What's next?
Sure.
I am ready. If it's deemed for you to take me out this world, I'm ready. Let's go. What's the next direction? I'm just ready to make it happen. I'm ready to pop for you, Lord. I will miss my family. I will miss my son. I will miss my sister. I will miss my honey. I will miss everything. But I know, like, without a shadow of a doubt, that God got me. He has a purpose for me. And I always say this to my family, and I say it to them now. You know, when I'm gone, when it's time for me to leave, when I leave from this earth physically, do not cry for me. Don't woe. Don't feel no type of way. Because my time here is up, and God is stepping my game up to something more better. I have been called to serve a different purpose. I serve my purpose here with y'all. And I think that's what we need to be able to talk to our families about and let them know. And it's kind of like preparing them, because we all going to die. I wasn't prepared when my mother died. I was depressed for 5 years. I was in a state of depression and didn't even know it. How you depressed and don't even know? I wasn't prepared. My mother did prepare me. She said, look, I need you to look over your sisters and brothers. I'm not going to be here for too much longer. But one thing about you that I am leaving with you is my heart, and I'm leaving my strength with you. One thing that's going to be good about you, Ebony, is you're going to have a big heart, and you're going to have strength. Your backbone is going to be made still. You're not going to be easily broken. And she was right. I mean, she was right. But I prepare my family now, and I let them know that one day I will be called to my next purpose, and I will be with my God, the God of my understanding, or my overstanding. Excuse me, my overstanding. I know God has something prepared for me, so I don't fear death at all. At all. I just wanted to lay that on you. I'm going to throw it over to you, J-Bags.
You a better person than me, because I be scared as I don't know what about, you know, I be scared of dying. Not necessarily what's going to happen after that, but just the event, you know, like, how would you, you know, I feel like, you know, does it hurt, you know what I mean? Like, kind of like, you know, the first time you got a tattoo, you know, you kind of like was a little bit, edge, you was on edge a little bit, you know, because it was like, well, I mean, people say it hurt, but how bad is it going to hurt sort of thing? Like, that's how I feel about it, you know. But just knowing that I'm a, you know, sit with the Lord, you know, that kind of makes it, you know, eases everything over. I get afraid of just how, you know, how I'm going to go out, you know, how, you know, the pain involved, if it's any pain at all. Some people die in their sleep, and, you know, it's peaceful.
Are you afraid of being tortured to death?
Ooh, Jesus, yeah, man. Everybody
yes,
in my family, cancer is rampant in my family. So, you know, I done seen people just sitting there, sitting there in their body. You can see somebody's body just deteriorate. My mother was like that, you know. Her body just deteriorated day after day, you know. So, I mean, that's very fearful for me. And that might be, you know, where it all stems from, to be honest. But, I'm just fearful of just, you know, going through the pain. Any kind of pain is involved with that, I'm kind of fearful of that. But, you know, the afterlife, straight, I'm ready. Good money, let's get it, you know. Which
there's
is kind
lots
of crazy.
Of fear.
Yeah, it's crazy, you know what I mean?
I mean, there's lots of fear that we go through. But one thing that we have to understand, God didn't make us that way. We wasn't made with fear. We wasn't made with depression. We wasn't made with doubt. We wasn't made that way. So the more that we remind ourselves, we use that spiritual jump rope. That's what I'm going to call it. That was just placed on my heart. That just popped right out. It just popped right in my head. Spiritual jump rope. You got to use spiritual jump rope. And when I said it, I thought about it. I just seen me jumping the rope and building muscles in my feet, in my legs, in my back, in my arms, holding the jump rope steady so I can stay on balance, on course. You got to be able to build up your spirit woman and your spirit man. There's no need to fear death. And then the things that we see that happened to Jesus. Even before Jesus died and he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, if I'm saying that right, you can correct me if I'm not, but he knew what was about to happen to him. But you know what he did? He prayed to God for us. God, forgive them, for they know not what they do. God, take me as a sacrifice. Let me take on all of their sins. Let me take on all of their pain. Before Judas even snitched them out. Judas snitched out Jesus. He betrayed him. But he knew what was about to happen to him before it happened to him. But he was willing to bear that pain because he was a perfect. He was perfect. He was the perfect example. He was clean. He was pure. And I say that because I'm going into, you know, getting this fear up out of us and for us to become stronger shepherds in our family, leading the way. A shepherd protects, this was one from my understanding, a shepherd protects the sheep, watch over the sheep, and
y'all see how the shepherds have those big robes on? They had really big pockets in them, too, to put the little baby sheep in there that couldn't keep up with the flock. That's love. A shepherd, it guides the sheep, it protects the sheep, feeds the sheep, nourishes the sheep, everything. So we need to really think about being shepherds in our family, too, and encourage the rest of us and our families to be shepherds as well. One thing that I wanted to go into, because we were due to have Adam Lavelle on the show from writerprisoner.com, but he hasn't made it to the show yet, but that's cool because the show must go on. But let's not forget about our people that's locked up. Real talk. I know some of us like, you know what, I'm tired of the phone calls, I'm tired of the visits, I'm tired of putting money in your commissary, I'm tired of you going back and forth to jail, I'm just tired.com, and I cannot do this with you anymore. Don't give up on them, y'all. God didn't give up on us. And y'all know we ain't perfect. Boy, listen, I'll be just thanking God every day for forgiving my behind. Because I know for a fact that in my past, I was horrible. But writerprisoner.com, I took the time out. Writerprisoner.com is actually the largest, comprehensive, and the biggest pen pal site and company that's running now. I really like how they have it. It's $40, a one-time fee of $40. What happens is the inmate will be able to build their profile, put things about themselves, and they also have an exit program for the inmates, which I'm pulling up right now as we speak. I just thought it was cool. A year before they get out, this website has so many different companies, people who are looking to help people who have felonies. And they're setting them up with job skills. They're setting them up with computer skills. They're setting them up with getting their license, birth certificates, social security cards, high school diplomas, skills and trainings, and there's companies that they have already built relationships with. Again, I say that again, already built relationships with. So these felons or people who have felonies can go ahead and start to get to work. Now, remember at the top of the show, I did say multiple incomes. It's so important because a job sometimes can be just over broke and they can take you through the ringer. You're waiting on a background check. You're waiting on the urinalysis test. You got to wait for all the paperwork to go through to start getting started to work. But for those who are exiting out of jail, going into halfway houses, or coming home, back home to the family, we have to realize that they need help adapting to society. They have been gone years, especially those gone years. I ain't talking about those who did a 364. Knock it off. If you did 3 months, 6 months, 4 months, I'm not talking to you, okay? I can say any time is doing 1 minute or 10 minutes in jail is hard, but still, I'm talking to those who have been away, being preserved, because the only thing that happens when you go to jail is you preserve. You're frozen. It's like putting fruit in a jar, preserved jar, and leaving it so it can marinate and fuse together. And when you open it back up, it's so good because it's just all its natural juices. That's the same thing with an inmate. But in this particular situation, a lot of them are in violent or volatile situations. I like another thing about writerprisoner.com because they expose jails. They expose jails. They expose things that's going on in different types of jails. I'm trying to pull up one of the jails that they had exposed for the cleanliness and the inmates were getting sick. Oh, and crimefreekids.com on this website. Welcome to crimefreekids.com, the only you can own your future. We have two goals: to help children who have been impacted by crime, and to prevent children from taking the path of crime. Lawfully, you know it, attainable, we think so. So I really like this, too. They have connections with crimefreekids.com. Some parents go to jail. Some people go to jail, and their kids are affected by daddy or mama being in jail. And they're in the same cycle.
Yep.
And
women with your boyfriends. If you got a boyfriend at the jail, I wouldn't suggest for you to bring your kid up. That's not his son, not his daughter. And it's, and I'm still like 37 when it comes to the biological fathers. It all depends. If you up in the area where it's really nice where they can get a visit, then it's fine. But you don't want to keep the kid from the mother of the father and them visiting them. I'm getting some backup off of this. But helping a family member to not repeat the offender, write a letter. Send some pictures. Send some money. Do a visit if you can. You are their only source, whoever you are. You are their only connection back to the world. They don't have that connection. I know someone was like, yeah, they got it on the website. They got Facebook pages and whatnot. Let me tell you something. Facebook is cracking down on that. As soon as they see that inmate picture, they deactivate that account, and you can never get it again up under that email address.
Sure.
But writerprisoner.com has it where you can pay for them $40. They can build their own profile. They can put their information up there, everything that they have earned and learned while they was incarcerated, and start networking with the public and with employers. So I definitely suggest writerprisoner.com. This has worked for me and my brother. My brother will be home next year. He did a 5-year bid. It's been 5 years that my little brother has been locked up. So I know that it's very important that I help him out. You know, I'm not one to just keep sending money up there. That's one. I honestly feel like I'm here when it counts when you get out. Because when you out here, you're going back to budgeting, you're going to need food, you're going to need water, you're going to need clean clothes, you're going to need some interviewing clothes. You're going to want to be able to move around and explore the world because you ain't been out here in 5 years, so you're going to want to suck up everything that you can. But I do send him some money to help pay off his farms, for him to eat from time to time, because I'm more concerned about his needs and not his wants. So I just wanted to lay that on you guys for the family members that you have in jail. You don't necessarily have to send money all the time, a letter, you know, pen and paper, or, you know, on your iPads, or on your iPhones, or however you want to do it, can go a very, very long way, especially when it comes to emotional support, because that's, at the end of the day, that's what they need, is emotional support. So a round of applause for RyanPrisoner.com. I'm going to throw it over to you, Jess.
I mean, for sure. You know, at the end of the day, man, it's about, you know, recognizing that it's about these people's sanity. You know what I mean? Like, you know, imagine, you know, just, like, being stuck in a time capsule. You know what I mean? Because that's pretty much what being in jail on a long bed is. It's a time capsule. You're sitting in a time capsule with everything that, you know, when you went in, you have all of the knowledge of what life was like when you were out in the free world, and they bottle that up, package that up, time capsule, stick it in the earth, stick it buried in the earth for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, however long. Somebody digs that up, which is basically the equivalent or the analogy for you getting out of jail, being released, and now that, you know, that 1980-something stamp, you know, doesn't even look like the 2013 stamp or you know, mm-hmm. the TV that back in, you know, 1990, the TV was all big and bulky and heavy and boxed and, you know, rayon to cathode ray tube in the middle. Now it's a plasma screen mm-hmm. TV, you know. So these people, at the end of the day, you know, if you really put yourself in their shoes, you know, Their sanity is getting questioned and judged and pulled every which way, being locked up. And then imagine you get out and there's a whole different world compared to when you went in. You don't even recognize the world anymore, you know.
And I forgot to add this too. They got to deal with people trying to get at them and homosexuality.
They got to deal with
violence, rape, and homosexuality. And that's another part of life. Especially when they come home from off all that time, how do you tell your family, or, you know, if you have those feelings that I like men, or I'm bisexual, or,
you know, I prefer to be with a man. That's something that is hard. So I just wanted to throw that in because I forgot the homosexuality part, as well as the physical and emotional abuse that they received while they were in there.
Matter of fact, I'm gonna piggyback off of that and go one step further. Speaking from a health perspective of it, not even just like, you know, homosexuality, but like the men that get locked up and they choose not to, you know, be involved in that lifestyle and they just sit out they, you know, 5 or 10 years or 15 years. That's 5, 10, 15 years they haven't had contact with a woman to, you know, all that emotion, that build up of emotion. I'm not talking about, you know, I'm not even gonna touch on the build up of, you know, how if you go, how can I put this? All right, I'll give you an example. This is strictly for my men. I'm being a man for a second. Men, you go 1 week without having sex with your female and you're hurting, you're dying. Like, it's like death. You feel like, you know, blue balls, whatever you want to call it. You know, your stuff is about to fall off and run away from you and cut itself off and go find something. Like, that's 1 week. These guys are in jail for years and years and years. And if they choose to forego, you know, that homosexuality and the homosexual lifestyle, or just, you know, that's all they got, you know, they're not going to settle for this. That's a lot of pressure, you know. That could be a problem health-wise, because our bodies are not designed to be that. Our bodies are not made to take that long of a break, you know, with, you know, having that long of a break without that release of emotion. Not necessarily saying that we have to have sex, you know, all the time, but having that interaction with a female, you know what I mean? The intimacy, that's what I mean. That's what I'm talking about, being intimate with a female. And there's more to intimacy than just having sex. They don't get that intimacy, and that's something that, you know, you can't get that being in jail and whatnot. So sites like that can facilitate and be able to connect people together where they can write, you know, where they can receive and feel like they're being loved or being appreciated or being, you know, somebody cares for them. That's something that we all at the end of the day need to take a look at, because you know, like I said before, they're going to let these people back out. They don't know what the world is. That plays on your psyche in itself, that you get let out, you don't know what the world is. What are you going to do? You're going to be an animal, and you're going to go back to what you know, which is, I've been locked up for 5, 10, 15 years, and this is how they did things in there, and then that'll get them locked back up. So it becomes a cycle. So,
mm-hmm.
I challenge everybody to just, don't look at these people, don't look at, you know, prisoners, inmates, you know, people that are locked up. Don't look at them as like, oh, well, you know, they got locked up, obviously they're wrong or something, something's wrong with them, they did something wrong. Let's turn the other cheek, you know what I mean? Let's have that compassion that Jesus would want, that Jesus had for you, you know what I mean? Jesus didn't look at you when you know, slept with your man, when you slept with your best friend's husband. Jesus didn't turn away from you then. Jesus didn't, you know, disown you and say, well, you get what you deserved after that, or whatever it is, the sin that you've done in life, because we've all fall short of the glory of God. So, you know, and Jesus never turned away from us. So let's, as people, let's carry that same love that Jesus had for us and try to apply that to other people in their times of need and their struggles and their trials and tribulations.
I think so. The one thing about that, though, like, I really think it depends on the crime. Like, if you are a child abuser, child molester, all that stuff, that should go out the window. I'm sorry. My compassion for you is gone. You've destroyed a child's life. Now they can potentially have all this anger and hatred, and you know what they're going to do because of what you've done to them. You have destroyed someone's life because you want to be stupid. Now, for people that have drug charges and all, and, you know, and have had, like, robberies and all that kind of stuff, or even if they were young and they committed murder, I understand that, because that's something where if they were involved in gang and, you know, that was something they did in their youth, and now they've grown and whatever. But I think
it's crazy, this, but I think people need to realize what the prison system is and realize who's in the prison system and why it is how it is. And realize that people are making some serious, serious bank off of prisoners. And so, and like you said, treat them with compassion when they come out. But at the same token, do be cautious of that, because you don't want to fall into a trap. Because, like, I've heard of, like, women that will, like, go after, like, serial killers and all that kind of stuff just because, you know, they're lonely or whatnot, but then bring around their children. Not the best idea. So you do want to shoot it with compassion, but also be cautious.
Yeah, that's true. And I want to touch on that a little. Let me explain my stance. I don't particularly care for the child molesters or the child predators and whatnot. I don't particularly have any sort of compassion for any of those people. I can't honestly, God heaven forgive me, I can't bring myself to view them as a person in society the same as, like, the person that, you know, got locked up because, you know, they were in the wrong place at the wrong time,
right,
or whatever. I can't look at them the same way. So that's why I really didn't specify. I don't even count them. Like, I don't look at them.
Okay.
They should be locked up for the rest of their life. That's how I feel. Like,
I agree on that
you
one.
You can't never give that child his
innocence.
But
what about those? And I don't want to try to knock it. I'm not trying to go against the grain. But I'm just trying to overstand this because we don't have compassion for people who molest children. That's because we are very connected to the children. We feel like they should be protected. We have children and we work with children. But what about those who are repeating the same cycle that happens to them? I was molested when I was younger, and now I am doing the same behavior because most likely nobody told me that what I was doing was wrong, because it has been a secret in my family and everybody's been hush-hush or neglecting somebody is abuse too. It didn't nobody know. Neglect is abuse. Regardless of the challenge to dealt, if you neglect it, it's abuse, bottom line. But we have people who have been touched, has been sexually molested or sexually abused, and let's go ahead and get that the meaning for that too. Let's go ahead and turn that up, because if I say something, I want to give some education behind it. Sexual abuse, when an adult or a child uses his or her authority to involve the child in sexual activity, it is child sexual abuse, and that person is a child molester. The molester might use tricks, bribes, pressure, threats, or force to persuade the child to join in sexual activities. Sexual abuse includes any activities performed for sexual satisfaction of the molester. When somebody has been sexually abused or touched and it has went untreated, unhealed, or untalked about, they are going to repeat the same thing to somebody else. If no one told them that this is wrong and this is not the behavior that you should have when you're dealing with an underage adult, and this is the reason, they are going to continue to think that is right. So if we're going to have compassion for the robber, the murderer, the thief, the gangbanger, the woman who drowned her 7 kids in the tub, then we need to have some compassion for child molesters as well. And I know it may sound jacked up and crazy coming out of my mouth, because I'll be the first one to say, take them up on a hill and put them up on a barbecue grill just like everybody else. But what's coming into my spirit right now is, Ebony, if you're going to forgive the gangbangers, if you're going to forgive the drug dealers, if you're going to forgive the thugs, then you're going to have to forgive them too. Because let's talk about these gangbangers and these druggers. They didn't torture people to death. They didn't kidnap families. They didn't kill babies. They didn't sell drugs to pregnant women. They didn't care. They were still bringing down the person as a whole. They was bringing them down as the same way. So if we're wanting to have compassion for this group of dangerous and ignorant and hurtful people, then we need to have some type of, or try at least, I'm not trying to make you do it, but try to have some compassion for the molesters, because what we'll say about the drug dealer and the gangbanger is, oh, it's his environment that he grew up in. That's the same shit for a child molester.
But the issue that I have is the fact that, like, is the repeat offenders. And I think that's where the problem comes in. You get more time for drugs than you do for murder and rape and all that kind of thing. And I think there's something seriously wrong with that. Like, you do. They talk about some people that have kids that come out, you know, on their third time after molesting how many kids, because they keep on getting let out because somebody keeps on having that compassion for them. That's where I have an issue. Like, somebody will get popped for 20 years for a drug charge, but they might get 5 for a murder or, like, 2 for a rape. There's something wrong with these numbers.
I think all crimes should be judged accordingly to the same damn law. To tell you the truth, I think death, child abuse, child molestation, robbery, kidnapping, extortion, arsony, I think that they should all hold the same time. Think about it. If you can get 20 years for everything, let's not just 20 years for everything. Fuck it, let's just put it out there. You get 20 years, you neglecting your child, 20 years, 20 years. Everybody gets 20. We can even do 19 years and 99 months.
The other thing you gotta look at though that I'm gonna point out is like there's gonna be some instances where I'm gonna say like with as far as drugs and drug charges, there's a lot of just crookedness and just corruption behind it, because like you could I'll give you an example. If I'm driving my friend to the store and he has whatever on him and I don't know he has it on him, I could get that 20 years and I don't even know he has it. You know, that's on his person. He just happened to be in my car and I don't know what's up with that. I don't know too many people where they can honestly say, well, maybe there's a mistake. Maybe he didn't molest this child. Like, what child makes that up? You know what I mean? Like, that's a gimme. The child says this, and there's, you know, they go searching, they find proof, and they trace DNA or what have you back to this individual. It's not too many, like, mistakes you can make with a child abuse or a child predator, you know, going to court, going on trial. It's not too many mistakes you can really make with that. So that's where my, like, lack of compassion comes from. Like, I just feel like, you know, that's – and, like, as Denia said, you know, they get chance after chance after chance, and it's almost like, you know, it's almost a thing. I'm more of a proponent of just if something is a vicious cycle, I'm a proponent of cutting the head off the snake. Just get rid of it, that'll end the cycle. You know what I mean? So if it means that this guy grew up in this environment and now he's a child predator, I can't really say he'll never change, you know. But that dude that's selling drugs, if he gets a $60,000 a year job, he might just say, I don't need to sell drugs anymore. Who knows, you know what I mean? But that's one of those things that, I mean, I can have compassion for a drug dealer because, you know, of whatever case or another, even if, regardless of, like, as long as, I don't really have compassion for murderers either. I feel like it's wrong to take anyone's life, you know. God is the only one who can say, I'm going to pull you out of this world, you know. I don't have compassion for murder. But, you know, at the same time, I mean, as Denia said, it all goes back to the laws. Like, we have some very corrupt and crooked laws in the land. Like, you know, you can get a crazy amount of years for drugs or drug possession, drug use, you know, you get crazy years for that. But then you'll get a couple of months for an actual murder. A manslaughter charge would be a couple months or something like that. So I don't know. It goes back to, you know, we gotta go to our politics. We gotta talk to our politicians, our Congress people, you know, and you know, each laws in our individual states. You know, we gotta really do the research and step our games up.
Yeah, you can't go trying to bust. You can't go trying to kick in the door waving the 4-4 if you ain't did no research and educated yourself. You got to be able to have that. Same thing with your banks. You can't go in there. You can't call up there disputing, you know, that you didn't, that you ain't want.
Mic check.
Come here, close the door, close the door. Yeah, I did a little something special for you, you know, show you how much I care for you. Yeah, I know, I ain't had to do that, but I wanted to. Hold up, let me get that. Hold on. Nah, don't move. Let me get a good look at you. Now turn around, let me see the rest of you. Now that's my favorite part. Baby, it's your night. Let me get there and pour you wine. Treat you like my job. Let me grind hard. I put in work plus overtime. Let me rub your feet. Massage your shoulders. Got scented oils and hot aromas and candles lit. I handle it. You ain't got to raise a hand to demand for shh. Just close your lips. Matter of fact, just close your eyes. Where we going? It's no surprise. I just hope that we both survive. I ran back through bubbly in it. Take your clothes off. Get comfy in it. Stereo, we'll all be in it. Your body calling out. You want me in it? Yeah. Got them clouds on it. I might have to drown just to put my mouth on it. I kiss you head to toe, everywhere from breast below. Put your legs on my shoulders, promise I won't let you go. This ain't sex no more, baby, this precipitation. That's why your body pouring from all that anticipation. For every raindrop, I see a rainbow. So that's real love, I don't need a raincoat.
Baby, the weather gonna go. I'm feeling kinda horny. I know that you like it. Then tell me how bad you want it, so I can make you rain. Oh, rain, oh, rain. Yeah, so I can make you rain. Yeah, rain. And I ain't letting up until tomorrow morning.
And we climax like snake kicks in high hats to find that. I love making this IMAX, your back blown, your spine crack. It rains so much, you got a flood warning. Forecast say it's love storming. Raining just like Washington, before tonight, Southern California. I started out up front of that. Round two, I hit it from the back. I put you up in front of that. Then grab your waist while your thunder clapping, my lightning strike. Doing it till the sunrise. Roll around, cuddled up, exhausted, tongue tied.
Baby, wanna go deeper than I've ever been. Baby,
baby,
got me begging for your rain again. Oh, love on you, you put your love on me. Open up your skies and let the rain go free. Let it flood on me, I'll put this love on you. In the morning I'll be the grass, you'll be the dew. What you trying to do? Baby, the weather's kinda stormy. And I'm feeling kinda horny.
Oh, yeah.
I know that you like it. Yeah. Tell me how bad you want it, so I can make you rain. Oh, rain, oh, rain.
Oh,
yeah. So I can make you rain.
Rain.
And I ain't letting up until tomorrow morning. Yeah. Baby, the weather's kinda stormy.
Kind of
and I'm feeling kinda horny. I know that you like it. Tell me how bad you want it, so I can make you rain.
Oh,
rain,
oh,
rain,
girl,
yeah. So I can make you rain,
rain.
I ain't letting up until tomorrow morning.
You are now tuned in live. Tuned in live to Step the Game Up Saturdays. Diva Mary Kay, showcasing nothing but successful independent businesses. Call us up at 347-850-1521 and step your game up.
Is that your friend?
Step your game up.
Nigga, you with you better
step your game up.
Y'all, man. What you looking at?
Step your game up.
What you waiting for?
Step your game up.
Gonna come on in the dust.
Step your game up.
Drop it to the floor and just
step your game up.
You with Ken.
Step your game up.
Oh, you drink gin.
Step your game up.
Is that your friend?
Step your game up.
Nigga, you with you better
step your game up.
You better step your game up. Y'all know what time it is. It's your girl, Diva Ebony B. We live on Step Your Game Up Saturdays. Now, me and Jay Biggs and the Queen Denai is live here. We done stepped your game up on finances. We stepped your game up on budgeting. We talked about holiday shopping. We even talking about writing a prisoner. Also, we did ask you, if today was your last day, what would you do? We definitely want to know. It has been an excellent show. And before we get out of here, I just want to go ahead and take a caller that's calling in. Let's go ahead and step our game up. 386, you're now live with Diva Ebony B and Jay Big. Step your game up. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, Ebony. This is Adam Lovell from writerprisoner.com.
Hey, Adam, hi. You're here.
Yeah. How are you?
Fine. I'm glad that you made it.
I'm sorry?
I said I'm glad that you made it.
I'm sorry. There's a voice stepping on yours when I'm hearing you, Ebony.
I'm sorry, can you hear me now?
I can.
Okay, great. Adam, I'm glad that you made it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show.
Let's give us a briefing on writerprisoner.com and exactly what you guys do.
Well, writerprisoner.com is basically a pen pal and reintegration service for inmates in America and elsewhere if they so choose. Most of our inmates come out of America, though. At any given point, we have 10,000 to 14,000 inmates on there looking for pen pals, looking for employment, looking for places to live. How it works is an inmate places their personal information online, a bio, a photo, some details, and then people can write them directly. We also have an email forwarding service where a person can get on and write their first contact through email, and then we print and send these to an inmate every 2 weeks.
Oh, that's good. So I can get online. I can type my message. I can type everything that I want to say, and then you guys print it out, and they'll receive a letter basically from me and anybody that's trying to correspond with them every 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's right. It's actually for initial contact, the email forwarding service. It's something we provide free of charge. Ongoing email forwarding services like corelinks.com, jpay.com, these are government contracted sites, and they will maintain correspondence via email for a fee. We're actually working on a prototype now to allow something similar as well, but it won't be government sanctioned. We won't be seeking that. It'll just be through postal mail, and it'll be for ongoing correspondence, but similar to the same thing, but not exactly.
Okay. Now, you have an exit program like a year before the inmates get out. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. We have these reintegration profiles, and we do these free of charge, and it's just for any inmate that wants to participate, and it's for an inmate that's looking to find employment. What we try to do is work with employers to help them line up work in their area before they get out so that they're not getting out and then looking for a job. We also have one for housing where we try to match them with housing agencies or people that can rent rooms, that sort of thing. It's often a condition of parole. So homes are very important for these guys, and we also do education. And that one, they don't need to be getting out within the year. They can do that at any point while they're incarcerated. And then we're working on another one right now for counseling. Not every inmate receives the counseling they need in prison, and we're putting together a section for social workers who would like to help inmates via correspondence with counseling. And it's going to be any type of counseling, whether it's anger management or the likes, and that's a section that's not live yet, but we are preparing to launch that here within the next few months.
Okay, cool. Now, I do have Jay Biggs, and I have Denier from Chi-Town, the Denier from U Designs on the line, too, and I'm pretty sure that they have questions for you. So I'm going to start with Jay Biggs. He is my co-host. So, Jay Biggs, go ahead and ask Adam some questions.
Hey, good evening, Adam. Thanks for calling into the show, man. My first question that I want to ask is in general, how would you say is like the impact, that you have like on the prisoners? Like, have you actually gotten any feedback from the incarcerated people who are using the service now that could say like, this is, great service for me. It's done wonders for me.
Yeah, thanks for having me on the show, and we do get that kind of thing every single day. We get it via email for guys that are out. We get it, through the postal mail. If you took our Monday mail and you stacked it up, it would reach around 3 feet We're dealing with a lot of these guys, so we get a lot of good feedback, and that's kind of how we tweak the site, you know, based on what is and isn't working for them. We have such a good pipeline into the prison that we can really tweak the service to better help these guys on a national level. And you know, I've been invited to dozens of weddings and those sort of things, which is kind of interesting. It's not really our purpose. We're not really a dating site. We're really just a correspondence site, but it does happen. And you know, we hear from a lot of people who found work or who are pursuing higher education, and it's very encouraging because, you know, most of what you hear out of prison isn't good stuff. So it's nice to have a positive impact in there. And like I said, the feedback that we get from these guys and girls, it's really how we tailor the whole site. So they've really created it in a way by telling us what they do and don't need.
Mm. Yeah, that's what's up, man. That's awesome.
Yeah,
I guess my second question, which would be more importantly, what's the one thing, I guess, that you currently do not offer or do not have a part of the service but you would like to add within the next 5 years or so?
Well, I got to tell you, we're pretty well tapped out on everything, but the one thing that I did mention, the ongoing correspondence, that's something that we've been wanting to offer for a long time, and it's something that surprisingly the federal government and some states and counties have started doing on their own, which is an actual email service, you know, like through jpay.com or corelinks.com. And, you know, that ongoing contact is something where we kind of drop the ball because we help people initiate contact, but we don't help them sustain it. You know, our services are all about initial contact. So providing that long-term access, you know, through electronic contact, that's what we really want to get into. And we think it's going to be the thing that's going to help our people the most. So that's a ways off still, but, you know, we do plan on implementing that. And the blueprints are all done for it. It's really just a matter of getting the programmer when they have time to get to it all, because we have a list of to-do things here that would stretch, you know, 10, 15 feet if you were to print it out in Arial 12. We just have a lot of projects pending, but I'd say that's the biggest one.
That's what's up, man. I'm on the site now. I'm just checking out the site. I'm reading all the information on the site. You know, it seems
cool, man.
I'm actually reading this thing and scrolling across the screen talking about, from words from the actual inmates, things that they've said, that how great the service is, you know, and it's real touching. It's real heartwarming. It's talking about, you know, how, you know, the site, the service and the site is giving them, you know, a life, a home, to go to a job when they get out, you know, it's real, you know, it's keeping their spirits up. So
it really
I just
is,
wanna,
man.
Yeah, I just want to thank you, you know, and I appreciate, me personally, I appreciate you. I have a lot of family members of mine personally that are doing long stretches of prison sentences, and, you know, I'm glad to see that there are services out here like this that will keep them in high spirits.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate that, and you know, I hope that you know, your family can benefit from WAP and from services like ours. And you know, the empirical evidence on this, man, like the anecdotal stuff is nice, you know, to see like somebody that's you know, their spirits are uplifted, and that's encouraging. But there is some real strong evidence to support what we do, and we have a little section on the website there. And it's called Why Write a Prisoner. It's a little link in the top left-hand corner. And it's just a meta-analysis of all of these different case studies on inmates and analyzing their contact with the outside world. And what we find is if we increase an inmate's contact with the outside world, they are less likely to hurt themselves, to hurt others, to go back to substance abuse. They're more likely to find jobs when they get out. They're less likely to recidivate. Everything that we know about it says it's a positive thing. And these are actually people that, you know, laid down the groundwork and followed, in one case, 8,000 inmates over a five-year period who had contact with the outside world. And what they found in this one study that I'm talking about now, this was the Minnesota Department of Corrections that commissioned and just recently completed this study, they found that just one visit from the outside world, an actual visit, reduced an offender's likelihood of returning to prison by 13%.
Mm.
That's powerful.
You know what?
That's the Department of Corrections.
That right there, and we were just talking about research. Before you can be able to go against something and, you know, say how you feel about something or change something, you got to do
some research, and that right there along is powerful, because it's not just you saying it or it's not just me saying it, how we feel, and these are facts. So a round of applause for that one right there, like that, the research. Love it. Love it.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Yeah, it's great when you hear it out of the DOC's mouths, because, you know, that's
right.
Not where you expect to hear it, but, I mean, there it is, and facts are facts, and we all should, you know, adhere to them if we don't. I mean, I know a lot of the population kind of sticks their head in the sand and keeps moving along when they're presented a fact, but, you know, I'm not one of those people, and the facts are in, you know, inmate contact with the outside world is a positive thing. It's a thing that actually reduces their likelihood of returning to prison, reduces the burden on taxpayers, all of the things that we would want. And some people still don't encourage it. Some people still make it, you know, difficult for them to have friends or family visits. And, you know, it's a real shame, but the facts do constantly come down in favor of this.
Right.
Let's talk about Write a Governor. On the website you have Write a Governor. And why is it important for us to write our governors?
Well, in these three instances, what you have here are three states. They are Florida, Indiana, and Missouri, and they have banned inmates from having pen pals. And this isn't just write a prisoner that's banned. This is ministries. This is anybody trying to help them find friends outside of their network.
Wow.
And as we know, people in prison have very small networks, and some of them have none. So these three states actually ban the practice of pen paling with inmates. And what we do here is we have a petition that's going to go out to them, and we also have a letter writing campaign where we just bother the heck out of them. We ask people to sign the petition. We ask them to write them directly. We ask them to email them. And, you know, they've been up there for years. They've been doing this for a number of years. And it really all started in Florida. This was the ground zero for the first ever rule to ban pen pal mail. And then it spread to those other two states. And it's remained stagnant. No one else has adopted it because it's a foolish policy that is going to cost them more money and make a more volatile prison. But, you know, there it is still. So we have that up there to fight it until they reverse the rule and allow the pen pal mail back in.
You would think that they would want people, the inmate, to be able to have some type of connection or some type of, you know, way of them reaching out to their families, especially around holiday times. It's so important, a birthday. One thing that I did for my brother in April, his birthday is April the 19th, but what I did is I got 30 or 31 happy birthday cards, and I just made sure that I put a stamp on all of them every day on my way to work, and on my way out, I put one in the mailbox so he can get one piece of mail a day. It just saddens me.
That's awesome. Yeah,
I mean, it make it fun because I sent them funny cards. I couldn't send them the cards that made the noise, but I did send them hilarious cards, and I sent them real sympathy cards, well, loving cards, and I sent them a card with me and the kids' pictures and stuff in it. But just coming up and creative, but when you said that, my heart sunk in. Like, are you serious? Are you serious?
Look at
what just happened in, you know, in Virginia. No, not Virginia.
Connecticut.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Look what happened in
Connecticut.
You know.
What a horrific tragedy.
What a tragedy! And it's people fail to realize. I think they think when people go to jail that they just become these ignorant, dangerous people. They are still people, you guys. At the end of the day, they still humans. They still breathe. They still love. They still cry. They still bleed.
Right. These are U.S. citizens. These are not like these are our people. These are our people, and most of them are coming out. You know, and your brother, unfortunately, you know, being incarcerated sucks. But you know, thank God he's got someone like you. You know, a guardian angel sitting on his shoulder. Because I'll tell you what, I deal with thousands of these guys every week, and most of them don't have that. You know, he's lucky to have you, because I'll tell you, most of them, they walk away. You know, 2 years of incarceration, you're down to about 20% of your support base. 3 years of incarceration, you're down to about 10. Stay any longer, and you know, good luck hearing from anybody. It's rough in there, and you know, you're right. These are human beings. These are not. Prisons have become society's dumping grounds. They're supposed to be our correctional grounds. They're supposed to be our reform grounds. But it's got nothing to do with that anymore. It's just mass incarceration and such a high cost of doing business. And sadly, that's what a lot of it is, doing business. You know, you look at the private prisons and all the money that goes into hardline laws and approaches to criminalization of all things and incarceration of all things. It's just a, you know, it's a problem that the United States really let get away from it. And instead of doing, you know, a war against the impoverished, you know, a war on poverty, a war on addiction, you know, they target drug offenders, and they put them all in prison, you know, and it's not worked, and here we are, and we can you look at like today, America's got 2.3 million inmates. Well, we literally can't afford it, so they're releasing these guys, and now they're doing it with no organization, no real transitional skills. They're just dumping them on the streets because of why court rulings, you know. You look at California has to depopulate one-third of its prison population by a given date because they were incarcerating people in unsafe conditions. So rather than taking a hold of the problem when they had an opportunity, they're now in a rush to just dump people on the streets. We have the wrong approach to incarceration in this country. And people, it's like all you get from the public is creative ways in which they would punish other people. It's like they're so detached from reality, and I can't have a conversation with most people about that because they don't ever stop to think about reform. They don't stop to think about reintegration. I mean, it is just something that the media leaves out in every story.
You're right, and the media is very powerful. Let's let Denaya come in here and get some of this thing right here and step her game up. Denaya, you got some questions for Adam?
Definitely. How do people know what sites to go through, like writerprison.com, and what are other sites that they could go to if they want to get involved in this, and how do they know what sites to avoid so they don't get scammed?
Well, all the details of how to correspond with an inmate are on the site. So when you write an inmate on the site, you'll get like a survey, you know, 30 days later. It tells you about like sending money to inmates. It tells you before you write them all of the precautions you should take. We're really careful with providing all of the data up front, and we don't hide it either. It's right on the homepage. It's right off the inmates page. We put all of that stuff right out front, and then we still follow up later on. So the things to look out for, that's all. We walk you through that process as you write somebody. As far as other sites go, there are some other sites similar to ours. Friendsbeyondthewall.com is one of them, and I know the lady that runs that, and she's a good woman. Excuse me. They're not anywhere near as in depth as we are. They're much smaller. Another decent one is LostVault.com. That's completely non-commercial. They do it all for free. That being said, it's hard to get the stuff out, and a lot of the mail ends up sitting for 6-7 months before they get to it, from what I've heard. But a good group of people trying to do a good thing there. Tons of prison ministries. You'll find a 100 Christian ministries out there that are doing these sort of things, and you can really just Google Christian Prison Pen Pal Ministry, and you'll pull up a list of different sites. So there's a lot of sites out there. That being said, Write a Prisoner is the biggest by quite a bit, actually. And if you were to go look at some of our competitors' traffic, you know, we're doing, you know, in a day what they do in a month in some cases, and that's not an exaggeration. But there, you know, once you get started with it, the sites that I mentioned earlier, jpay.com, corelinks.com, these are ways that for a fee you can keep in contact with your, you know, your friends inside. They have nothing to do with us. Those are government-sanctioned sites. But, you know, as far as getting started, if you have any reservations, best way to do it is just to get a P.O. box. You can do everything anonymously that way. You know, you can use an alias if you wish to. You can also go to any local church, and they'll let you send mail through them, in my experience, to inmates, and you can send and receive it through the church. So there's a lot of that goes on, too. But the precautions, I mean, you should take precautions whenever you're corresponding with anybody that you don't know, and that includes inmates. But in doing this for 12 years now, we have yet to have a major incident of any kind happen on the site. And I tell you what, Facebook can't go through a day without saying that. And I'm not saying that we're anywhere near as big as Facebook, but we're pretty big. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to not have had any problems, it's a pretty good record.
And Adam called me right back when I called the media line and left a message. I first did the profile for my brother. I didn't use my personal card, but I did use my PayPal card to make the payment. And when I left a message for media outlet, he called me right back. It was like maybe an hour or two.
he called me right back, and this is how we got him on the show today. So,
yeah, I try to stay on that line.
Did you have another question, Denaya, before I ask another one?
I think that was it for now.
Tell me about writerprisoner.com channel. You guys are very creative. I'm looking at the tabs on the side, and I'm just loving that you have unlimited tabs right here. But this one right here, writerprisoner.com channel, where you guys have we have prison videos from all over the world featured in this section. Be sure to vote on your favorite prison video in this section. You can also submit your own prison video here. Submit prison video. So tell me about this section and whose idea was it to put this here, because I know they got Prison Break on cable and it was something else on there. But tell me about this section and why did you decide to allow this to be put up there for the visual?
Well, there's just some interesting videos out there. You know, it's the day of the cell phone and everybody's got access to stuff. And, you know, we're getting a lot of videos coming out of prisons is one thing that we're seeing, not, you know, submitted to us per se, but that are getting posted online. And that's because, of course, the smartphones are getting smuggled in there. So, you know, there's just so many interesting videos around prison and good stories to tell. And so for some people, that visual aid of being able to sit and watch a video, you know, it just is way more informative. You know, it's a way that some people can interpret data better than those who would sit and read it. So it really kind of spawned as that. Now, that site is in portion of the site is actually in disrepair, in my personal opinion. It still functions and all that. But we actually have a whole new version of that coming live with many new videos coming soon. So that's one of those things that's actually getting worked on as we speak. But it is it's an interesting little section, and you will see some fascinating videos there. And it's one that we plan on expanding on quite a bit in the years ahead, because, of course, video is not going anywhere.
Almost definitely. One more thing before I pass it around again. You guys actually expose prisons, or you have a section on the site, and I'm trying to pull it up on my iPad here, that you put up prisons who have been fined or what do you call the dude that's in the prison, the top dog, the ward, who has stepped down and abuse has gone on in the prison. How does this all come about?
Well, just the news, you know, like we kind of keep our finger on the pulse of all that kind of stuff, and it's interesting to our readers, so we like to provide a section where they can, you know, see what's going on in the news. And the prison world is largely underreported. I mean, you only really hear about the most shocking things out of prison, but, you know, in prison every day, it's a reality show, and every prison everywhere. So, you know, we do that just to help better inform our users, because it's really more of a, you know, a niche following than something like, you know, anything that the mainstream media would really focus on. And it's just a way to keep people informed on current events.
All right, cool. I'm going to throw it over to you, J-Biz.
Man, I'm kind of just checking out the site here. I'm just scoping through some things, you know what I mean? It's a lot of different tabs on there. I want to encourage everybody out there to go visit writeaprisoner.com. It's W-R-I-T-E, writeaprisoner.com. There's a lot of different tabs on there to click on. I was just looking at the video of the prisoners in Philippines doing the Michael Jackson routine or whatever under
they
the
killed it, didn't they?
Yeah, it was spot
that?
On, yeah.
Oh.
It was spot on.
Yeah, it was an amazing performance by those guys.
Yeah, and I mean, that's like this is going back to what you were just saying about how, you know, you really don't see this type of stuff in prison. If you really hear anything, you hear about, you know, basically, I mean, we've been brainwashed. As a people, we've been brainwashed that just prison, jail automatically equals bad. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You're bad. You're just an infestation in society. We don't want you here. Get out. There's a door. Put them in the jail. Get them out my way. Get them out my vicinity. I don't want to know these people. And then you have a video which has stuff like that, which says, you know, you don't have to be bad in prison. You know, you're actually having fun. Well, at least to me it looked like it was fun because,
sure.
I mean, it's like 100 people doing this dance, you know, and so I'm thinking it's fun. I mean, I'm reading through the crime prevention and, you know, just detecting child abuse and, you know, crime. I'm just skimming through it, you know, and I wanted to ask, like, what would you – excuse me, what would you like to say, you know, to the people, because, I mean, there's so much stuff on the site. What would you like to say to the people, you know, kind of to encourage them to get involved with this, you know, because, I mean, like I said, we associate prison and jail, not saying we, but people associate prison, jail with just negative. There's a negative stigma with it. And a lot of times, you know, we all make mistakes in life. It's just some people's mistakes are a little bit more, you know, higher and a deeper or more extreme than someone else's. And they, you know, like you said, need some kind of reform. But what would you like to say to the people out there to encourage them to not be scared of prisoners, not to be scared of, you know, helping out and trying to get out of that mentality, you know, get out of this mentality where we run away
right.
from someone that went to jail, you know?
Well, I'll tell you what I would say to people is, you know, don't base your entire opinion on things that you see in the press. I mean, if you go off of just what you know from inmates and the media, everybody is a serial killer. Everybody is a serial rapist. It's, you know, it's the worst of the worst. That's what we see in the press. There are 2.3 million people in American prisons, and they are not represented in the press. There are many reasons people go to prison. And even people that went in for heinous crimes, in most cases, will be coming out one day. And a letter can help reform them. And that's not an opinion. That's a fact. I can't tell you how many times I've heard from people, and every week we hear this, who say that they came here with no intention of writing an inmate, started writing an inmate, formed a lasting friendship, and have found a good friend and feel like they've made a difference. So, you know, I think roll the dice. You've got nothing to lose. You know, take a chance and write an inmate and see how it goes, because I can tell you most of it's a positive outcome. And many of these people, they go on to be friends for life with these guys. You know, like I said, we're 12 years into this. We have 12-year-old friendships through this. We're inmates and people out here are still corresponding, still friends today. They visit. Heck, our programmer, we met him because he's a pen pal to someone on the website. He just flew over here from Holland and met his pen pal in a Texas prison. You know, these aren't romantic things. These are friendship relationships, and these are very helpful to people. And when you're incarcerated, you got to think about a place so bad that you just want a letter. You know, imagine if your life was so bad that a letter would cheer you up, because that's prison, you know, and that's how powerful a letter out here can be to someone in there. So, you know, I'd say take a chance and see how it goes. And if you don't like it, send me an email and tell me what we did wrong, and we'll try to do it right, because we've been perfecting this for 12 years. And, you know, most people who take a chance and write a stranger in prison find a good friend, you know, and that's why they're here. And, you know, hopefully we can bring on some people and get them writing too.
That's
man.
I appreciate, you know, everything that, excuse me, appreciate everything you guys are doing, you know, with the service and the site, especially from the standpoint of just shedding some positive light and injecting some positivity into everything, you know, into the whole stigma that we have in this negative idea, you know, that prison is so bad. And like you said before, like, we can't focus on reforming people or helping people to, you know, get more acclimated with society once they are out of prison. We have to just automatically treat them just like they're no better, and they're, you know, they're nothing at this point. They're worthless. Like, they're going to end up back in prison because, you know, not because we, you know, because of something that's wrong with them, because we refuse to help them. We refuse to reach out to them once they've done what they've done wrong, or even before they've done something wrong, you know?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you want respect, you got to give respect. You know, these people won't learn to respect us if they can't respect themselves, and they can't respect themselves if everybody out here is just calling them trash all day. You know, it's supposed to be, you send people away, not for punishment, but for correction. That's what we're supposedly doing. Now, everybody who's got somebody in the system, they know that that's not what's really going on in most prisons. There are exceptions, but that's not usually what's going on. But that's what we're supposed to be doing. And if we were doing that, we would have less inmates. We'd have less need for prisons. We'd have less expenses, less families destroyed by incarceration. We'd have less of this. And, you know, it's amazing to me that you just can't convince all people of facts, but you can. And, you know, you gotta push through it anyway, because, you know, for everyone you don't reach, you'll reach another one. And and that's certainly been my experience. And, you know, on Right of Prisoner, you'd be surprised. It's all walks of life writing inmates, and I mean that. It's everybody you can think of. And, you know, it's nice to see such a diverse group of people come together and write these guys and actually, you know, have a rewarding experience from it. Now, we're up against a lot, you know, constantly combating the media trying to turn us into a dating site, you know, something we never have been, and that sort of thing. But the truth is, there really is no such thing as bad press, and even with the media out there doing what they do, when they do it to us, the good thing is that people still come on, they still write inmates, they still form their own opinions. So, you know, Right of Prisoner has really, you know, stuck a name in its, a name for itself in the ground here with the prison world and the people out here. And, you know, the people in prison, they all know us, but the people out here, they're slowly learning about us. And, you know, it's growing, and it's been a positive thing for so many people. And, you know, now we're at a point where we can really handle it all, because it's been so much work, so many battles. I can't even tell you. Every day you wake up to some kind of other battle with a server or with a hacker or what the heck ever. I mean, it's just always something going on, or somebody in the press said something that you didn't really say. It's just there's always something going on, but we've really learned how to deal with that. And we have a good team that works for us now. Excuse me. And we have a great programmer, and we're getting so much stuff done. And there's some really big changes that are going to be coming up to the site here within actually the next 2 weeks. The site's getting a full makeover, and a lot of those sections that you see there, they're going to have a full makeover too. And we're constantly going to add to it. You know, you guys talk about those tabs on the left. There's a lot of work that goes into those little sections. Well, we've got a whole ton more coming, and a whole ton more content coming from it for it too. We're just constantly pouring everything back into it, trying to make it as big and as useful as it can possibly be. And, you know, we're really reaping the reward from it on a personal level, you know, with hearing so many stories of so many people that have a home, that have a job, that have a friend. I mean, stuff makes a big difference in there. And it's nice to be at the center of it all. You know, I really enjoy what I do, and, you know, it never ceases to amaze me or to stress the living hell out of me. But, you know, it's a lot of fun, and I can definitely see it, you know, growing in the years to come. We're currently ranked in the top 30,000 most visited websites in the United States. You know, I truly believe we'll be in the top 10,000 in the next year or two, and I don't know where we'll go from there. But it's gonna grow for a while longer, and we're gonna keep reaching, you know, as many people as we can.
Well, Adam, I just want to thank you for coming to Diva Spot Radio on the Steppy Game Up Saturday show. And now that you're rocking with us and that you've been on the show, we definitely invite you back. But we're going to make sure that you guys continue to get visit, that you guys continue. People will still continue to be able to use the services. And it's just a blessing. You know, my brother told me about this site. He told me about it a couple of months ago. I'm glad that I took the time out to take a diva pause and do stuff for him and being able to learn more about the site, because it's truly amazing. And I'm not one to be really concerned about being popular. I'm concerned about being effective. And that's what I see with this website. And I'm very, very pleased and very happy. So going into the new year, we'll definitely be having you come back on the show. We definitely will have you guys up on the website. We definitely will be talking about you on our Facebook, our Twitter, our Moto, our tag, our app. And we will have you in rotation with us. And you guys stay tuned, because the writerprisoner.com commercial is coming soon, so stay tuned for that. Adam, before we get out of here, is there any shout-outs that you want to give or any information that you want to put out there for any other stations, because people are going to go back and listen to the show, for how they can contact you as well?
Well, anybody can contact us through the website, writerprisoner.com. And, you know, I just want to give a shout-out to you guys. I really appreciate all the positive feedback and the help in getting the word out. And, you know, I really appreciate the opportunity coming on the show and everything. You guys, you know, did us a solid, and, you know, hopefully we'll get some new pen pals from it all. And if your brother's having any mail getting or any trouble getting mail through us, you just send me an email and I'll make sure we get on that.
Yes, sir. All right.
All right. Well, thank you so much, guys.
You're welcome. It's Girl Diva Ebony B. You're now tuned in live to Step Your Game Up Saturdays. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at DivaSpotRadio.com and check out the website at www.DivaSpotRadio.com. Don't forget to follow Space Age J at Space Age J, that's a.k.a. J Biggs, and follow me at Diva Ebony B and follow Zaniya at Zaniya for you. We definitely step your game up each and every Saturday, 5 p.m. on the west, 8 p.m. on the east. Make sure you locked in. We're about to get out of here. Make sure you keep God first, family second, and career third. Let's go.